Now, something that caught my eye this week is the question of jellyfish, and Australia, in line with its reputation for being home to some of the world's most venomous creatures, also is home to one of the world's most dangerous jellyfish, if not the most dangerous organism, the box jellyfish, Chironex fleckeri, after Flecker, the man who is credited with having caught one and induced it to sting him to prove that it is a really very nasty jellyfish. This kills people, both around the Queensland coast, but also its relatives in Malaysia and also around the Philippines, maybe hundreds of deaths a year. And the thing is, we don't really know why. We just know it's very poisonous. And a group of researchers now writing in PLOS One, this is Angel Yanagihara and Ralph Shohei, they've actually shed much more light on this week in their paper. First, what they've done is to come up with a very good way of producing concentrated versions of this venom. They got tentacles from Chironex fleckeri and another species of box jellyfish. They isolate the nematocysts. These are the little miniature jellyfish hypodermics that are loaded with the venom, which discharge on contact with skin and pierce the skin, pushing the venom in. They spin these things down, and then they use centrifugation to rupture them, releasing the venom proteins, which they're then able to skim off. And they used samples of blood from human donors, but then also animals, to inject this material or add it to cells to see what the effects were. And what they find in samples of red blood cells, and then also in experimental animals, is that the venom appears to trigger the cells to rupture and release their potassium. And when they made some careful microscopic images, they show that the proteins in the venom assemble into little pores that then punch holes in the cells' membranes. And this is why the cells release potassium into the bloodstream, which is normally stored inside cells. And it's this potassium that they think kills people, because when you have large amounts of potassium in the bloodstream, what it does is depolarizes the membranes of electrically active tissue. Heart cells and nerve cells, in fact, every cell in the body has a voltage across its membrane, which is produced by pumping potassium into the cell and excluding sodium. And so if you let all of the potassium come out of the cell, you lose the voltage across the membrane, and the cell normally uses this voltage to do important jobs in the cell. So if it's not there, the cell dies. And they think that this is what happens. And in their experimental animals, their hearts just stopped when the potassium level went up. So then they said, well, is there anything we can do to stop this? And they started just testing random chemicals they had in the lab. And they tested a chemical called zinc gluconate, which is a solubilized form of zinc. It's a zinc salt. And they found it could very potently inhibit the venom. It seems to stop it assembling into these miniature pores that punch holes in cells, as long as there's lots of zinc there. And even better, it's very cheap. And amazingly, it's even better at doing what it does than the anti-venom, which you can obtain from hospitals and things, but which is often administered too late anyway. Zinc, very easy to get hold of, very easy to administer. And as long as you keep pumping it in, it seems to stop the toxin. They also suggest that perhaps rubbing this onto the skin, if you have some zinc-containing cream, may also stop more of the nematocysts from discharging. And therefore, it could potentially also limit the dose of the venom into people, so a very cheap way of mitigating against something that probably kills hundreds of people a year.
So does that mean that if you have a very high zinc diet or you take lots of supplements containing zinc, then you'll be protected in some way from the effect of the sting?
Unfortunately, I don't think so, because they did effectively try that experiment, because they, in some of their animals, gave the zinc and then gave the venom. And in others, they gave the venom and then gave the zinc. And they found that the latter, giving the zinc after envenomation, was more effective. And they think that the reason is that the zinc doesn't stay in the bloodstream at a high enough level for long enough to inactivate the venom. Whereas if you have given the zinc afterwards, then every time it meets a poison molecule, it effectively deactivates it. Now, one thing they do say, though, given that they're saying about rubbing on the cream onto the skin, sun cream has got a lot of zinc oxide in it, so it may be that really slapping on the sun cream might be beneficial too.